Hi everybody, it's so good to see you today. Whether you're watching this online or you're at one of our locations, here's a big, big welcome to all of you. And I just want to give a special shout out to those of you who received Christ in one of our Christmas services this week. You know, you came for a service, you watched it at one of our homes, you watched it online, you received Christ, and today you're here tuning in for service. So right now, if you're sitting beside somebody who received Christ at one of our Christmas services and is here today, just help me turn to him, turn to her, and say, it's so good to see you here with us today. You know, it's great that you're here tuning in online, and we're really, really excited for you to get started on this journey with God. And this is the best decision that you will ever make in your life. You know, for all of us, we are officially at the last weekend of 2020. What? How did we get here, right? And you know, 2020 was different, to say the least. I still remember very clearly that at the end of 2019, everybody was like super excited about the new decade. You know, generally, there was a lot of anticipation. There was a lot of good vibes about the new year. But little did we know that it was going to turn out way beyond our wildest imagination. I remember back in February or March, there was some talk about how COVID would probably go away sometime in April or May, you know, because that's what happened with SARS. When the season changed, the virus also kind of went away and things went back to normal. But here we are, at the end of 2020, still talking about COVID for the foreseeable future. So I don't know about you, but my 2020 felt like a really, really long year. I was just talking about it with a friend this week, and we were saying that actually, everything before Circuit Breaker, right, felt like last year. And it felt like the year really started when Circuit Breaker happened, right? So many things happened. And with that, I also experienced a whole range of emotions as well. So I got married this year. In fact, in March, we managed to have our wedding on the last weekend possible to have a big wedding. And we actually even managed to squeeze in a honeymoon before having to come back when all the restrictions kicked in. So I'm super, super thankful for that. But in this year, Circuit Breaker also came. Everybody was stuck at home for 2 months. And for me, that meant mostly being confined to a room because I moved into my in-laws place and there was just too many people living at home. You know, and phase two, for me personally, was when I honestly started to feel it a bit. During Circuit Breaker, I was still quite happy, you know, like, wow, I get time to slow down and spend at home. I have a comfortable place to rest. But phase two was when I started to honestly feel a little bit lonely. And because of certain work arrangements, there were certain restrictions on who I could meet and who I could spend time with. And at past a certain point, that did make me feel kind of sad. It made me feel a little bit isolated. And to be honest, right, I really felt like Rapunzel. It's like my entire life, I'm just looking out a window, right? Everything is going on, but I'm sitting in the same room, looking out the same window every single day. But in 2020, it was also the year where we experienced many new ways of doing church. You know, for the Ablaze side, we experienced things like our first ever online camp. You know, for most of us, we began to take our services online, we took our live groups online, even our mentorings online, and the accessibility of meeting up online and doing life together just opened up a whole new world for us, right? Now it's so easy to just gather with some of your live group members, your friends, to do QT together, to just spend some time together at the end of each night, to talk about what God has been doing in our lives. And we got really, really, really good with using Zoom. 2020, personally for me, was also a year when I went through a transition in my ministry. I moved over to the JC district in Ablaze and I started getting to know new people, transitioning into a new community, getting to know a new life group. And so if I could put all my events of 2020 into a graph, right? And if you have time, I'd love to encourage you to do this for yourselves as well. You know, this is what my 2020 would look like. There were some high points, but also some low points. But coming to the end of 2020, I'm glad to say that it has picked up and that my 2020 is ending on an upward climb. How was your 2020? If you could draw your 2020 into a graph, what would it look like? You know, would there be more high points or perhaps more low points? And as we come to the final weekend of the year, is your 2020 ending on an upward climb? Or does it still seem to be headed downwards? Today, we want to take some time to slow down and look back on the year. In the madness of 2020, as we look back on some of the things that have happened in our lives, how should we begin to make sense of all of it so that we can move forward and move into the new year with a deeper joy and gratitude? And so I'd love to do that with all of you today as I bring you today's message. And the title for today's message is Zooming Through 2020. If you're taking notes, the title of today's message is Zooming Through 2020. Brilliant, right? Zooming Through 2020. Today we're going to be learning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. It's only three verses, but we're going to glean so much wisdom from these verses, okay? So wherever you are, I'd like to invite you to read this together with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18 on the count of three. One, two, three. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So let me begin by giving you some context to what was happening in these verses so we can understand better what the Bible is saying, okay? So in this letter, Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica a few months from when the believers first heard and responded to the gospel. So they were new believers, this was a young church, yet while they were new to the faith, they were also facing some external opposition at the same time. In fact, some of their believers had even lost their lives due to the persecution. And so it was a pretty bad situation, pretty difficult if you can imagine, right? And it was in light of this very difficult situation that Paul was writing to the church to encourage them, but also to give thanks for how they have remained faithful in spite of facing such difficult circumstances. He goes on to teach them how to live out their Christian faith in the midst of challenging times as they await Jesus' return. And you know, across the year, the term challenging times might have meant different things to different people. For some of us, perhaps 2020 was challenging because this was the year that we had to adapt to a new way of doing church, and that was so different for you. You know, while you used to enjoy the fellowship in church, the worship atmosphere in Access Auditorium, these were things that were removed from your Christian experience this year, and you had to learn to lead yourself into worship while watching a screen. You had to learn to fight the temptation to be distracted by our mobiles while we are tuning into our Zoom LG, our Zoom service, even during mentoring. And perhaps it was easy to fall away and get disconnected from God, and you had to relearn what it means to know God beyond simply coming to church. For some of us, perhaps 2020 was challenging because of the extended time spent at home. You know, perhaps being around family has always been difficult for you because of some of the situations your family is in or some of the tensions in your family relationships. And this year, it was hard to escape. It was hard to simply ignore it and leave home or like spend time outside. But this year was the year that you were forced to come face to face with it when you had to spend extended time at home. Maybe for some of us, being home was tough because your parents and family members are not the most supportive of your Christian faith. And so when church was conducted online from each of our homes, it was hard for you to openly pray, to openly worship, to openly take out your Bible and read, or even fellowship over Zoom with your life group members. For some of us, perhaps 2020 was challenging because financially, your family took a hit. And even right now, you might still be in that process of trying to figure a way out of that. And if Paul were to preach the same message to us today, what would he say? Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so the first point that I have for all of you guys today, no matter what we face, rejoice. From verse 16, no matter what we face, rejoice. You know, when the Bible calls us to rejoice no matter what we face, it is not blind to the struggles we go through. Paul was not making an unreasonable request. He was not being unkind or unempathetic to the real struggles the Thessalonians were facing. In fact, Paul himself was no stranger to hardship. You know, he was someone who had been beaten, arrested, even sued for proclaiming the gospel. And so when it comes to suffering for one's faith, Paul was someone extremely familiar with this experience. And yet to the Thessalonians, he would say, rejoice always. Why can we rejoice? You know, why should we? In the face of challenging circumstances, it is normal and it makes sense, right, that we would grumble, we would complain, we would get bitter, or wonder why we have been given such tough circumstances. So why rejoice? You know, Paul commands the believers to rejoice always because for Christians, joy does not come from simply having positive circumstances around us all the time. Christian joy is more than just an emotion. It is more than simply feeling happy all the time. Our joy is built on something much deeper and much more unchanging because it is anchored on the gospel and on the good news of Christ that remains true regardless of our circumstances. No matter what happens around us, nothing changes the fact that Jesus went to the cross, paid for our sins, rose again, was victorious, so that today we can have that victorious life and come into a relationship with Him. And if nothing changes this fact, then nothing changes our joy. You know, joy is not about living in denial, pretending that we don't feel pain or grief when bad things happen. You know, when tough family situations arise, when finances slowly run dry, when we are ridiculed and shamed for our faith. Joy is not just about ignoring these things and pretending that they're not happening, living in a deluded state. But joy, when Paul was asking the believers to rejoice always, he was saying that even in the most painful moments, even in the most difficult circumstances, we can still find this deep-seated joy in the knowledge that God is working for the good of His people according to His purpose. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And you know, for some of us, 2020 has honestly been a really, really hard year. Perhaps you might have even experienced some challenges to your mental and emotional health because of some of the things that you have gone through this year. The months of being mostly confined to your home, away from physical community and fellowship, has led you to feel quite emotionally empty and isolated. And you know, even when we started meeting up again, these were still feelings that you felt very, very strongly in your heart. And perhaps some people don't even know that you are feeling these things. And the truth is, it's just honestly been really hard to find something to give thanks for this year. Today, God is not downplaying your suffering. He's not downplaying the severity of what you have experienced or gone through. He's not saying that it doesn't matter and that it's not significant. But what God is saying today is that He's there. He's there. He was there when things were okay. He was there when things were not. He was there in the many dark nights and lonely moments of the year. And in all these things, He's doing a good work in you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7 tells us, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. You know, we rejoice in Him not because we are blind or deluded with no awareness of what is going on in reality. You know, we rejoice because it is precisely in tough times that we need to remind ourselves of God's goodness in our lives so that we can stand by it. If we look to the circumstances around us, they will tell us that God is not good. They will tell us that God is not there. They will tell us that God is no longer faithful. But when we look to the person of Jesus, when we look to the truth of God, that gives us the certainty that God is good in our lives and God is very much with us. You know, and as we go through these things, we rejoice in tough times. We go through tough times so that our faith can be tested and proven to be genuine. God's goodness is not determined by the circumstances in our lives, by what happens to us, but by the fact that He has already made the biggest display of love on the cross. Not only that, He promises us His presence in every single moment, every single day of our lives. And so we are never alone, we are never forsaken, we are never left to fend for ourselves because our good God works for our good and He's always in control. And for some of us, this is the biggest reminder that God has for you this year. As we close off 2020, don't just be eager to welcome the new year because 2020 has been terrible. Don't just try to rush past and ignore the things that have happened. Today, God is reminding you to know and remember that He is very much present in your life. He was very much present in your 2020, in the moments where you were wondering, in the moments where you felt like nobody understood you and nobody knew what you were going through. God was very much present in each and every single one of these moments, And if you would just take time to come before Him, He will begin to show you the good work that He has been doing in you along the year, even if it seems like bad things are happening to you. And with that, I'd like to move on to my next point. As we wait for God to act, pray. From verse 17. As we wait for God to act, pray. Now, Paul also commands the believers to pray continually. But what exactly does this mean? What Paul was not saying is that believers must pray non-stop, 24-7, every single moment of every single day. That's not what Paul was saying, because that would be physically and mentally quite impossible. Rather, Paul was saying that believers should pray regularly and constantly. And the reason for this is because when we remain prayerful while going about our daily lives, we live in an awareness of God's presence. We live in an awareness of God's presence. And one of the habits that I actually picked up in uni was praying through my day. And how this started was because I live very, very far away from school. My school's in the west, I stay in the far east, and it takes me on average about 1.5 hours to get to school, 1.5 hours to get back. And so I started spending a lot of time traveling, a lot of time on the MRT. When I travel out of school to meet people, it also usually took me quite a while to get places. And so my travel time became my prayer time, where I would just talk to God about my day and allow Him to speak to me about some of the things that happened. And one of my most significant memories of this was that there was this one night where I was super duper stressed and tired from studying the entire day in school. I remember that I did work for about like 12 hours straight, just sitting there churning out essays and like trying to rush out my submissions, right? And so because I take 1.5 hours to get home, right, I left school around 10:30 p.m. I hopped on the train at around 11 p.m. hoping for a silent ride home alone because it was a really long day. And at City Hall, a huge horde of very, very excited tourists rush in with their huge luggages, okay? So pulling, boom, 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 all rushing into the train, right? And this was 11 p.m, mind you, so the train was quite empty already, okay? But for some reason, they all decided to sit on the row of seats, right, that I was on. And I happened to be sitting in the middle, So can you imagine, right? They rush in, they fill this side, they rush in, they fill this side, right? And then everything else was empty, But they all sit on this row. And then not just that, they begin to talk over me, talk to each other. They begin to take group photos and I'm in their group photo because they are taking an entire row. I kid you not, I have no idea what they were doing. And in that moment, right, I was so frustrated. I was like, oh my goodness, I am so tired. There are so many seats. Read the room lah, what's wrong with you? Why must you sit next to me and have me right smack in the middle of your entire group? At that moment, I got to admit, right, all sorts of terrible thoughts came to my mind, and I think I looked like a very grumpy Singaporean in their holiday photo album, so I'm sorry. But then at that moment, right, I somehow decided to just pray and talk to God, because that was my habit, right, to talk to God while traveling. And so I honestly think that actually at that moment, what I wanted to do was just to rant to God and tell God, like, wow, God, I'm so tired, I'm so upset, I'm so frustrated. Why like that? Why my life so sad? How come this kind of things happen to me? And then I decided to plug in some worship music to just kind of like also drown out the noise with my noise-cancelling earphones, because they were really loud. So I plugged it in, pressed play on one of the worship songs, and I remember very clearly that in that moment, when I plugged in and the song started playing, I remember God speaking to me so clearly. And what He was telling me was, hey, just because you are tired does not mean that you get to demand that everybody sayang you, everybody panders to you, everybody, takes care of you and you have your way in everything. And while this might seem a bit in your face, right, in that moment, the reason why it spoke to me so clearly and it spoke to me so immediately, right, was because that was precisely the thing I needed to snap me out of my pity party. I was so focused on what I was feeling and so focused on my experience, right, that it had completely coloured the way I view every single thing around me. As long as it's not for me, it's bad. As long as it doesn't meet my needs, it's bad. And the world just doesn't care and, like, I'm shortchanged and I'm being treated badly. And so I needed something, right, to snap me out of that pity party for myself. And in that moment, I also remember that God was also reminding me to stay plugged in, not just to a pair of noise-cancelling earphones, right, but to stay plugged into Him and to stay plugged in to the Holy Spirit so that I'm able to consistently make decisions that help me to walk with Him. if not the alternative, would be that I would very easily follow my flesh and very easily follow what I naturally feel, what I naturally want to think, want to do. But God was reminding me to plug in. You know, just like how when you plug into your noise-cancelling earphones, it drowns out the surrounding noise. When we plug into God, when we plug into the Holy Spirit, we drown out the flesh. And the reason why I'm sharing this is not because, okay, now everybody cannot complain, cannot be tired, must pray on the MRT home. You know, that's not why I'm sharing this. But the reason why I'm sharing this is because I want to let you know, prayer changes our perspective. Prayer changes our perspective. For some of us, perhaps like me, we've been so focused on our perspective of the things that have been happening in our lives this year that we're just unable to see what God is really doing. You know, we're so focused on our pain, we're so focused on our discomfort, we're so focused on the difficulties that we're just unable to see what God has actually been doing in our lives. Yet today, perhaps the call for you is to begin to pray continually, to persevere in prayer. You know, Paul was urging the Thessalonians to keep on praying, to persevere, even though at times they might be tempted to give up living by faith because of the tough circumstances that they were in. But persevere, pray continually. You know, and as I was preparing this, I just sensed that there's a group of us here who need to hear this today. Don't mistake God's firmness for a lack of care. Don't mistake God's firmness for a lack of care. You know, sometimes as we pray, God seems to respond to us quite firmly, but it is not because He doesn't care. It is not because He is unkind. It is not because He doesn't empathize with what you're going through. God is firm with us because He loves us and cares for us. And you know, some of us can be a bit easily offended. We feel personally attacked easily. And so when God corrects us, we also feel personally attacked by God, like He doesn't care for our needs, or He doesn't care about the things that we go through. But it is precisely because God cares that He will not leave us where we are at, wallowing in our self-pity. It is out of love that God will bring you to an awareness of what is truly going on so that you can find your way out of it and know what He is doing through all of it. You know, in a year where much of church was done from our own homes and bedrooms, I wonder how many of us have dropped the habit of praying regularly. We go about life by our own rhythm. We experience the many changes and surprises of 2020. We feel it emotionally. And maybe some of us are even a little bit worn down by whatever that has happened. But we lack a certain awareness and clarity of what God was doing throughout all of this. Today, can I encourage you to pray? To come before God so that you may live in an awareness of God. To come before God so you can live in an awareness of God. And may that encourage you that as God begins to show you some of the things that He has been doing, God begins to remind you of moments where He was with you. You know, may that encourage you that you are truly not alone because God is with you and God is very much present in your life. There may be some others of us here who have actually made many prayers to God along this year because we needed Him to act in our circumstances. Some of us may be waiting for Him to provide. Some of us may be waiting for Him to bring breakthrough, to change some of the circumstances, to restore some of the relationships in our life. And some of us may even be wondering if God would ever act because it feels like we have just been waiting for so long and nothing seems to be happening. Yet I would like to encourage you today to keep on praying, to persevere and to pray continually and keep on trusting in the God who works for our good. The thing about prayer is that it keeps us focused on God's sovereignty and goodness. And such focus is essential, especially in times when we are losing heart in the midst of waiting. So we got to keep praying. We got to keep persevering. Prayer is first and foremost relational. Prayer is first and foremost relational. More than presenting our request to God, more than hoping that He can change things around and bless us with things in our lives. Prayer is first and foremost us going to our Father, trusting that He will take care of us. How He does it, when He will do it, we leave it to Him. And so in times when it seems like He is delayed, when it seems like He hasn't answered our prayers yet, we can trust that He knows what He is doing. And even if He does not give us what we think we need, we can continue to trust that He is working on our behalf. And as we pray continually, we remind ourselves regularly to submit ourselves to God in trust. And so the final point that I have for all of you guys today is that in all that we go through, give thanks. In all that we go through, give thanks. From verse 18. You know, apart from rejoicing always and praying continuously, Paul commands the Thessalonians to give thanks in all circumstances. In good times, bad times, give thanks all the same. Why can we do that? You know, why can we give thanks in good times and in bad times? In the ancient religions, worshippers were obliged to give thanks after receiving favors from the gods, right? And by giving thanks, they also kind of hoped that the gods would then give them more benefit and then have favor upon them. So it's kind of transactory, if you can imagine, right? You bless me, I thank you, so that you will bless me more. And then I thank you, and then you bless me more, and then I thank you, and you bless me more, right? Yet on the contrary, that is not how we are called to thank God, you know, and that's not why we thank God. We don't thank Him in the hopes that more good things will come our way, that more blessings will come our way. You know, it's not like we are kind of like bribing God to bless us with our thanksgiving. But Christians are called to give thanks to God in all circumstances, not just when life is going their way. And giving thanks in all circumstances is not the same as giving thanks for all circumstances. When we give thanks for all circumstances, it's as if we are resigned to our fate, right? Bo pian lah. We are obliged to give thanks no matter what. So, okay, whatever happens, okay, I give thanks. Thank you, God. You know, there's not much emotional connection to my thanksgiving because number one, I don't really mean it. And number two, I feel like I'm giving because I'm obliged to give it. And that's not what Paul was commanding the believers to do. Instead, he was calling them to give thanks to God in all circumstances, whether in the ups or the downs, not because they had no choice, but because they knew that God is in control and working for their good. And the foundation for such thanksgiving is trust. The foundation for such a thanksgiving is trust. It requires us to place our trust in God and have faith that He is in control and He is working for our good. And the common thing about the three commands, you know, rejoice, pray, give thanks, is that they should be constants in our lives. The Bible tells us that to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks is God's intention for us. In verse 18b, it says, "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." But why is that so? You know, why does God call us to give thanks in all circumstances? For the believer, thanksgiving is a discipline. It helps us to recognize who God is and allows us to put Him in His rightful place in our lives. In good times, giving thanks humbles us. You know, it reminds us that God is the one who provided for our needs. It teaches us not to trust in our own strength or the work of our hands too much. It teaches us to place our identity in God, not just in the things we have and have attained for ourselves. And it trains us to live in surrender. You know, God, because You are my provider, because You are all I need, there is nothing that I cannot surrender to You. There is nothing that I hold tightly and refuse to give to You. In good times, giving thanks humbles us and reminds us of who God is and who we are in comparison. And in bad times, giving thanks encourages us. Giving thanks encourages us. We begin to see the hand of God in our lives in spite of the challenging circumstances around us. We are able to track, we're able to notice some of the things that God is doing. We're able to see how His presence is with us. You know, it teaches us to take delight in the simple fact that Christ really is enough and that we don't need to have all these other things to feel whole and to feel complete because Christ is enough. It trains us also to not just complain all the time, to not feel like we are entitled to blessing, but it teaches us to look at Christ for what He has done and to take delight in that. And so giving thanks in good times humbles us, while giving thanks in bad times encourages us. And in a year like 2020, what can we give thanks for? You know, if we don't understand this whole idea of thanksgiving properly, right, this command could come across a bit naive or even cruel at times. You know, what do you mean we should give thanks for, you know, in the midst of a pandemic? What do you mean we should thank God in the midst of a pandemic, how can we be so insensitive as to give thanks when there are so many people who are suffering, when there are so many people who are not doing okay in the midst of this whole pandemic? Are we naive or are we cruel? The Bible is not asking us to give thanks for the horrible effects of suffering, but it's asking us to give thanks for God's presence in the midst of suffering. And they are two very different things. In the midst of this strange year, what has God been doing? You know, on a personal level, what has God been doing in your life across the year? Perhaps there were certain things that He revealed to you about yourself. Perhaps He brought certain breakthroughs into your life or restored certain relationships that have been challenging, that you've been experiencing some tension in. Perhaps God brought you to a clearer awareness of how you're really doing spiritually as we took church online, as we changed up the whole structure of what we're used to. And on a broader level, what do you think God is doing amongst the believers? What do you think God is doing amongst believers? 2020 was a year where I believe for many of us, our faith was tested. You know, beyond the structure of church, what does it really mean to know God, to be a Christian, to walk with Him? These were questions we had to navigate in this year because everything that we knew and we were used to, that we were used to structuring our Christian life around, were changed, were taken online, took a different form. And in these times, we were made to question and wonder, actually, what does it mean for me to really be a Christian? Beyond simply coming to church now that I cannot come to church, right? What does it mean for me to be a Christ follower? You know, and it is God's grace and love that He would reveal this to us. It is God's grace, right, that He would begin to reveal to us just where we are and how we're really doing in our spiritual walks, right? Because His heart is for us to know Him. And so as uncomfortable as it is, as uncomfortable as some of these revelations are, sometimes it might make us even feel a bit bad about ourselves, this is very much necessary and is very much God's grace to us because it is much better that we deal with the truth of how we're really doing than to live under the lie that we're doing okay when we're really not. You know, so in God's love and in God's grace, He would reveal to us how we're really doing so that we're able to come before Him with more clarity and with an idea of how we can then move forward. And so now, we stand at the end of 2020, just a few days away from the new year. You know, for those of you watching this in Singapore, Phase 3 is about to begin really, really soon, and we're slowly inching our way back to life as we knew it. But was 2020 really just a wasted year? You know, was it really just a year where our life came to a standstill, where things were put on pause, where we couldn't have a graduation ceremony, we couldn't go on grad trips for the working adults, where we just find all means and ways to clear our leave and like keep going to cafes nonstop, keep going to Sentosa because that's the closest we can get to going for a holiday, right? Was 2020 really just the year that we were stuck at home, staring out a window, wondering when our life would begin? Or does 2020 bear much more significance than that? Will 2020 be remembered for the things that God has done in each and every single one of our lives? And will that bear an impact on the way we live in 2021? Would we rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances? You know, today I want to take some time to pray for a few groups of us. And so wherever you are, I'd just like to invite you to stand as we take the next few minutes to respond to God. So wherever you are, whether you're watching this in a home, whether you're watching this at one of our locations, just take the next few minutes to stand as we take some time to just respond to God and come before Him. The first group of people I'd like to speak to, you know, as you were listening to the message for today, especially the part about rejoicing always and finding joy in what Jesus has done on the cross for us, the truth about you is that you know that your joy is built on many other things. And very often, your joy is built on the things that happen around you. When good times come, you feel happy. But when bad times come, you feel upset. And these bad times are often what makes you doubt God's character, doubt God's love, doubt the presence of God in your life. And today, God wants to remind you that the biggest indicator of God's love for you and the greatest display of God's love for you is the cross. When we look to the cross, when we look to what Jesus did, we see the unchanging love of our God, and that forms the foundation for our unchanging joy in Him. And because of that, we can rejoice always. Because of that, we don't just take delight in our circumstances, but we take delight in who our God is over our lives. And today, as you were listening to this sermon, you know that God is reminding you and God is pushing you to begin to fix your eyes on what He has done on the cross, to take your eyes away from your circumstances, to take your eyes away even from your emotions, but to fix your eyes on the cross, to take delight in that and to allow that to begin to form the foundation for your joy. So if that is you, I'd like to pray for you wherever you are. You can just raise your hands, you can just bow your heads to receive this prayer, and I'd like to pray for you in this moment. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are responding in this moment. God, you know them. You know the journey that they are on with you. And God, I just pray right now that you would bring them to a deeper understanding and awareness of what you have really done on the cross for us. I pray that in their time, in their own personal time with you, God, you would begin to speak to them. You would begin to bring fresh revelation of what you have done on the cross. You would begin to show them why this is really the greatest gift and the greatest joy we will ever experience in our lifetime. And I just pray that as you reveal that to them, God, you help them to learn how to find their joy in what you have done on the cross instead of the things that happen around them. God, I pray that you stir within them this steadfastness, this, you anchor them in your love, anchor them in their salvation, so that when circumstances come, they will not be easily wavered, they will not be easily rocked, and they will always be able to rejoice in you because of who you are. So God, I bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the second group that I'd like to speak to today, as you were listening to the sermon, especially the points about praying continuously and giving thanks in all circumstances because we know that God is doing a good work in our lives, the truth about you is that you don't often live in an awareness of what God is doing in your life. Maybe it is because you don't really have a habit of prayer or you don't have a habit of thanksgiving. But today, as you were listening, you know that, hey, that's me. I want to live in an awareness of what God is doing in my life. I want to be able to go through good times and bad times and be able to say the name of God be praised because He is with me, He is doing a good work in me according to His purpose. You know, today God is telling you that He wants to reveal that to you, that He wants to call you to live in an awareness of what He is doing so that you can live in security, so that you can live in peace, so that you can live in certainty that He loves you, that He is with you, and that no matter what we go through, it is all for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. So if this is you today, I'd like to just take some time to pray for you, that you would begin to live in an awareness of what God is doing in your life so that you can come to a greater peace, greater security, and greater certainty in Him. So if this is you, you can close your eyes as we pray. God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters who are responding right now. God, you see their heart and you know their desire to want to draw closer to you. God, you know, for some of us, prayer is a foreign habit. For some of us, thanksgiving is a foreign habit. We're not used to doing these things. We're not used to drawing near to you on a regular basis. But God, today we want to get started. We want to come before you. We want to be sensitive to what you are saying. We want to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, to be plugged in so that we are able to live in an awareness of what you are doing in our lives. God, we want to be people who are secure in you, who can find our peace and our certainty in you, not just in what we think stabilizes our life, but in who you are and in the fact that you work for our good. And God, today as your people, we come before you and we say, God, we surrender ourselves. We want to let you do what you do in our lives, but we want to also live in an awareness of what you are doing so that we can come into greater peace, greater security, and greater certainty in you. So God, we look forward to what you will do in our lives in 2021 as we look back and make sense of all the things that you have done in 2020. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And as our eyes remain closed, I just want to take some time to speak to those of us who don't yet have a relationship with God. You know, you're not a Christian, or maybe you were once a Christian, but you have since backslided away from God. Today you're here, at the last weekend of the year, listening to a message about how we as Christians make sense of a year like 2020. And as we talked about the promise of God's presence through good and bad circumstances, I'd just like to take the next few moments to just share more about this God with you. You know, our God is a God who loves us, who cares for us, and who provides for us. And the biggest display of God's love, care, and provision is found in the cross. Jesus went to the cross, died for our sins, so that we can now come before God freely and enjoy being in a relationship with a Heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us, who provides for our needs. You know, in a year of great uncertainty like 2020, Jesus is the certainty that we can cling on to. Things in the world change rapidly. Things are always developing. New surprises are coming up all the time. And in the midst of all this uncertainty, Jesus is the certainty that we can cling on to. Jesus is the greatest display of God's love for us, that He would take that first step to pursue us even before we knew of our need. And today, I don't know how your year went, whether it turned out better or worse than expected, but what I can assure you is that there is a Heavenly Father who loves you and would love to have a personal relationship with you. And I'd like to extend this invitation to you today to come and know Him for yourself, to come and taste and see this love for yourself. And so if you're ready to invite Jesus into your life, or if you're ready to come back into a relationship with Him, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer with me today. You can say the words with your mouth and mean it as much as you can in your heart, and you can just repeat this prayer after me. So wherever you are, would you repeat this prayer after me if you would like to receive Jesus into your life? Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I want to thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I invite you to come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior, help me to become the kind of person I was created to be. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.